Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, welcome back to Drive on KFH Radio with Bob and Jeff. Happy to have Johnny Rivers on the air right now. He's be performing at the Orpheum on September 22nd. We're excited about that. I got to ask you, Johnny, how many times have you been to Wichita? What do you remember about our town?
Well, you know what? I don't know.
You don't know, huh?
So long. I'm sure I've played there several times in the past 40 or 50 years.
I'll bet so.
Well, Johnny, you know, you started very early in life. We're talking like 16, 17 years old, and you're going to New York City pitching songs.
Well, I was actually 15. I had a band in Baton Rouge. Came to California when I was 15, and also the same year went to New York and met Alan Freed.
And Alan Freed is the guy who gave you your name.
That's right.
Did you buy into that immediately? Did you say, okay, I'll change my name? What the heck?
You know, that was back in the day when having a long, you know, family name wasn't common. I mean, you know, a name like Schwarzenegger or something like that wasn't acceptable back then. But just about all the entertainers or musicians, Bobby Darin, Tony Bennett, and on, the only guy that kept his last name was Frank Sinatra. Everyone else had shortened their name, or including Dion, he just used his first name instead of Dion DiMucci.
Well, Johnny, you know, you started recording songs and doing demos there in New York City, and you got to be around some great songwriters.
I did my first recording when I was 15 years old in New Orleans at the same studio that Fats Domino and Little Richard and all those guys recorded, and that was my first record, which got a lot of airplay down in South Louisiana, in Baton Rouge and all of South Louisiana and Mississippi, Gulf Coast, and East Texas. And that's the record I took to New York and gave to Alan Freed. And then Alan consequently got me another recording deal there to record a couple of single records.
And what demo did you record that really became a big hit for somebody else?
I kept going back to New York in the summertime, this, that, and hanging out at the Brill Building and met some important publishers, including the publisher Hill & Range that handled Elvis Presley music. And I met some of the songwriters that had written songs for Elvis. And I could kind of sound like him. I had that southern sound, and I could, imitate Elvis. So they hired me, you know, that time to go in and cut demos, which is kind of how I supported myself while I was there. They paid me $25 a demo to go in and learn their song and record it. They would set up the studio and get some musicians. And then they would use those to submit to, they had someone who would take these songs down to Memphis and play them for Elvis, submit them to Elvis. I can't remember the songs, but I did do that.
Johnny Rivers with us. He'll be appearing at the Orpheum Theater here in town on September 22nd. Obviously, you have some of the most incredible songs in the history of music. You've always claimed that you know a good song when you hear one. Talk a little bit about that. How do you know a song is good, Johnny?
You know, like I said, and a lot of it has to do with this time I spent in New York around the Brill Building and around some great writers and great songs and this and that and whatever. And for me, I just had a natural knack for spotting a good song, one that I thought had commercial value and had the potential of becoming a hit.
Well, and your songs came out, like say in 1964, the Beatles hit really big and it knocked off all the American artists everywhere. You were the first guy to kind of cut through, and all of a sudden we're having some great rock and roll
hits. Prior to 1964, I had recorded for many different record labels, all of which, you know, got some airplay, but none of them were, became a big national hit. I even did an album for Capitol Records in 1962-63, a year and a half before we ever opened at the Whiskey and did that first album, the live album that had Memphis in it, which did become a number one record. So I'd been recording for at least 7 years, starting with that first recording in 1957 down in New Orleans. You know, everyone says, well, you know, you were an overnight success. I said, yeah, it took me 7 years of recording to become an overnight success.
Talking with Johnny Rivers, it's interesting reading about your career, which has been long and highly successful, and the people you met along the way and that had some influence on you and helped you along. I'm particularly drawn to your 1959 meeting with Hank Williams' widow, Audrey.
That was part of that string of recordings I did. She got me a recording deal with the Cub Records, which is a subsidiary of MGM. Hank Williams was on MGM. I recorded a couple of single records in Nashville that came out on Cub. And again, they got some airplay, but not a big hit.
Beyond that, I'm just interested how that meeting came about. Did she approach you? That had to be a tremendous boost
that,
for you.
I knew her, who asked me to go do a couple of shows with them at some club in Alabama, and he happened to be friends with Audrey Williams, and he said, you ought to come down, and I got this kid opening up for me. He's going to sing a few songs, and I think you'd be interested in him. He's going, you know, the guy thought I was talented, and he was a comedian, but anyhow, she did come down, and she liked it, and she had invited me to come to Nashville.
Well, Johnny, let's go to the Whiskey A Go-Go. I mean, you are the guy who opened up the Whiskey A Go-Go. That club is famous for every band in the world playing in it from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even these days. How did that come about to where you were the guy who opened the Whiskey and you had like a year contract there?
Yeah, I opened it from opening night. Actually, I was playing at another place here in L.A. It became the hot thing in town, a little small. It was basically a restaurant. But it became the hottest thing in town. And the guy that conceived the Whiskey A Go-Go and came up with the name, which, by the way, was the original Whiskey A Go-Go was in Paris, France. It was a small little club, but it was the hottest thing in Paris. And all they did was play records, and people danced. And it was called the Discotheque. Anyhow, this guy had gone to Europe on a vacation and, of course, had gone into the original Whiskey A Go-Go in Paris. And that's where he got the idea and the name. Thus also the Go-Go Girl. So when he approached me on the idea of the Whiskey, he said, if you'll sign with us for a year, we'll take over this place on Sunset Boulevard and, you know, we'll give you more money than you're getting now and all, whatever. And we want to get these gals to play records in between your sets. I did three sets a night. And she said, we'll play records like they do at the original Whiskey Go-Go in Paris so that people can keep dancing. So thus the Go-Go Girls, those two girls that played the records that were in basically a glass cage above the bandstand, became the original Go-Go Girls.
Johnny Rivers with us. You're coming here September 22nd. What's the Johnny Rivers show like in 2018?
Well, I hope it's a good one.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it will be. But how long do you go? What's your band like?
We just have a rhythm section. It's very small. It's tight. You know, at the Whiskey, the original records, all I recorded at the Whiskey was just three pieces, bass, guitar, and drums, and me singing. So we're basically just like that, except we have a keyboard now, that's all. But it's me on vocals and guitar, bass player, and a drummer and a keyboard player. Who plays piano and B3 organ.
Well, Johnny, besides your success as a singing star and an artist out there working, you started Soul City Records early. One of the few artists to kind of start your own label back in the 60s, and that was a little bit strange to people, I think, in the business.
Well, it wasn't that strange. The Beatles started a thing called Apple Records, and they had actually signed James Taylor that was on Apple. And so... Oh, a few people tried it, but my thing was actually Apple Records was not that successful. I got lucky and I signed a group called, which we eventually named the Fifth Dimension. And I had also signed Jimmy Webb as a songwriter who had a song called By the Time I Get to Phoenix and Up, Up and Away and several other great songs that came along with it. And Jimmy and I worked on the Fifth Dimension album together for my label. And Up, Up, and Away became Record of the Year and Song of the Year and whatever, and we won 7 Grammys a year. So we were off to a great start with that label. Also, I recorded By the Time I Get to Phoenix first, which is how I met Jimmy Webb, and then we released Baby, I Need Your Lovin' instead of By the Time I Get to Phoenix, which we knew was a hit, but we thought it sounded too much like Poor Side of Town, which we just came off of, which was a number one record. So we released Baby, I Need Your Lovin' instead, but I was friends with Glenn Campbell, and I'd heard his Gentle on My Mind on the radio, and I flashed on the idea, well, Glenn could do a great job with that song. So I called his producer at Capitol and came down, and I gave him my test pressing on my recording of By the Time I Get to Phoenix. And about 2 weeks later on the radio, I heard Glenn Campbell's version, which was an exact copy of my recording of By the Time I Get to Phoenix, but it was great for Glenn, and it became his first number one country record.
That's interesting. Well, your genre of music is described as rock and roll, garage rock, rockabilly, and blue-eyed soul. Do any of those fit, or do all of them fit?
Well, I think they all fit. I mean, you know, my roots, of course, is still rhythm and blues, you know, South Louisiana, Baton Rouge, but, you know, Cajun country, you know, early classic country, though, like Hank Williams and stuff like that. And so, it was a combination of all of that.
Well, we look forward to seeing you here in September, coming up here pretty soon, a month from, in about a month.
Looking forward to it as well, and we should have a fun time and give everybody what they're looking for.
Johnny, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.